League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, welcome to episode 9 of The Slab of Chels and Jim. I'm a Jim.
I'm Chels.
Is there a Chels?
There is a Chels. I spoiled it by coming in too soon.
That's all right. That's fine. It wasn't a great intro anyway. Hey, episode 9. 9 already.
We're currently going to be, after today's episode, in the midst of two-parters.
I think we're liking the whole two-parter thing, because there are very few good stories we've found that fit in with the ethos of The Slab. So if you find one that's got more than, I don't know, a paragraph worth of material on it, we're going to stretch that out. I think we need to milk it more.
Well, I do, like, a lot of podcasts do multiple episodes. But also, I think what they typically do is they do them in order. What we've done is we've done one, and now we'll do something else for a bit, and then we'll come back. It's not episodical, really, in any way.
It's like a jigsaw puzzle of content. We're just going to throw the bits at you in your face, and you just sort of have to put it together yourself. It's more fun that way.
Yeah, it's a mystery podcast released in a mystery way.
It's too easy to just listen to something sequentially. Give your brain a challenge. You need to test yourselves.
Well, that's what people won't find.
Before we get into it, Chels, I want to shout out our Patreon, because we never, ever mention the link. We do have a Patreon. There's some good perks on there. And if you want to check it out, it's patreon.com/Chels and Jim.
We're actually listening live, or a whole bunch of our patrons right now. Hi, Kate. Hi, Jip. Hi, Mind Overdrive. Hi, Not Crystal. Kaneo and BS O'Malley.
Also, we should say we're recording this over... Actually, we're doing it over a phone call. So logistically, it's been challenging. But this is the best we've got for today. We will be back in the studio for the next two episodes.
We will. And I can't wait to get back in the studio. They love us there.
Oh, yeah. We made such a great impression last time, turning up 2 hours late.
Right. Someone's left.
Someone's gone. Someone, one of our patrons has left the chat. We've not even started. Why would you leave now? We're obviously about to start the good bit.
Yeah, this is the good bit. Oh, they're back. First, I'd like to say this is going to be a two-parter. So I'm going to end halfway through this story, ready for a new episode. But the ending might not be in a place that makes sense. It might seem like it was halfway through a written sentence. And that's fine. I have plenty of time.
I see where this is going, Chels.
But it's like a cliffhanger, you know, as opposed to like a logical ending. So,
yeah.
What I'm going to talk to you about today, Jim, has been described as the Mecca for ghost hunters.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a good start. It's a strong
Mecca.
Start.
What one's Mecca? Is that the...
Don't
is that
ask
the Israel
specifics.
One?
Yeah. Okay. Don't ask religious specifics to Chels.
I know that they. Some people love Mecca.
They really do. Isn't that the meaning of Mecca? You love me? Come here. You love me? Come here. I think is the English translation of Mecca.
I think that's definitely correct. And
is
I'm
Mecca
not
a
even
building?
Going to bother to look it up.
Is it a building?
Mecca's a big square, isn't it? A
I
big square box.
I think there's a river nearby.
Mecca.
People walk
I know
there.
That you got to point your prayer mat at it. I know that.
Oh, yeah. Pull out your prayer mat in Mecca. That's the first thing
point
you want to do.
Point that at
Mecca. Don't worry
it's
about it.
They've got a little
snack.
Compass built into it.
Does it? The prayer mat or Mecca?
Well, the prayer mat. There'd be no point having a compass built into Mecca, would it? Because Mecca's always the right way. Mecca's not moving.
No.
If you need to get the prayer mat pointed at Mecca, handy to have a little compass in it.
Yeah, but is the Mecca at north? Oh, no, you can go different directions with a compass, not just north, right?
Yeah, no, you can point that wherever you want, baby.
It's like a Swiss Army prayer mat.
Well, it's not got pliers attached to it. It's just got a compass in it. But
maybe a little pocket for your gum?
That'd be clever.
Yeah, do they wear...
Maybe we should market this.
Do they wear hats?
I don't know.
Could have a little hat hook.
I'm not going to lie, Chels. Already I feel out of my depth with the Mecca chat. I'm very ignorant when it comes to the religion. Well, any religion.
Isn't that weird, though, that we assume what our religion is, even though we've both been atheists since birth? We're like, other religions?
Well, that's because, like, at school, we had to do the Lord's Prayer and stuff. You're sort of forced to be a Christian, which I think is wrong.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely wrong. Oh, I did like some of the songs, though.
He's got the whole world
in his hands. He's got the big one. Oh, I love it. And the one about big man standing by the blue water side.
Yeah? I don't know that one.
Oh, that's a great one. We'll listen to that later on.
The one with a... Sorry, just quickly. Just because it's going to bother me otherwise. What's the one with, like, it's about a lamp?
A lamb or a lamp?
A lamp. L-A-M-P.
Aladdin?
No. we didn't He's sing got something a rug? Aladdin. Yeah, that's a magic carpet, though, Chels. Different.
Oh, yeah, carpet, not a rug.
Not a prayer mat.
He could use it. It could double up if he wanted.
Oh, here we go. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
That's not about a lamp.
No, it's not, is it? It's about a light, though.
That's about belief.
For some reason in my head, though, I always imagined it as a little Aladdin lamp.
Yeah, I was right. It was a great guess.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. I'm saying lamp, but I'm seeing genie in a bottle. That's not a lamp, is it?
It is a lamp.
Is it a lamp? No.
That's an oil lamp. It is. The idea is that you light the end of it and it's like a candle that doesn't go out.
But it looks like a small teapot.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an oil lamp.
Where's the flame come out?
Out the tip. If you imagine it as a teapot, the flame would come out of the spout.
What? At an angle?
No, straight up. It's not like a Bunsen burner. It's just a little candle flame.
I don't know about that one.
Rub the magic lamp. Why do you think it's called a magic lamp?
Yeah, well, I forgot it was called... I'm hearing... I'm a genie in a bottle, baby. And I'm like, it's a bottle.
You got to rub me the right way.
Yeah. And why are you rubbing it? Who got him out in the first place?
Also, if that's a lamp that's supposed to be filled, presumably with some sort of flammable liquid, a terrible place for a genie to live.
I've seen that
Imagine
TV show.
Imagine the fumes he's breathing in.
She's got loads of carpets in there.
Who has?
What was the TV show from, like, the 80s?
Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
No, let's not go back onto her Melissa Joan Hart again. Was she in the last
like
one?
We've exhausted all of our Melissa Joan Hart material.
Yes, Bewitched. She had like a little... I don't know if she was an actual genie. She was an actual genie, but I mean like she dressed sort of like a belly dancer.
I don't know if I've ever seen Bewitched. Obviously, love the band Bewitched.
Yeah.
Got a lot of time for those guys. Some people say I look like me dad.
What, Celeste, are you here? I don't know if her name's Celeste, but I think they have a song called C'est la vie. That's where I got the word Celeste from. They got a song called Let's crack on.
All right, what's it about then? Something about Mecca.
It's the Mecca for ghost hunters.
Okay, you're right.
It all began in Gloucestershire in the 12th century, 1100 AD. They decide to build an inn over an ancient pagan burial ground, which is always a good idea if you're planning an investment that will come to fruition in about 900 years. Burial grounds were the slow-burning crypto of the medieval era. This inn would become famous over the next millennium, featured on almost every ghost hunting show and blog known to man. The name of this inn? The Ancient Ram Inn.
The Ancient Ram Inn.
I don't know if it was called the Ancient Ram Inn when it was first made. It could
Presumably
have just been called
the Ram Inn.
The Ram Inn, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have a source on that. I was just sort of reading about the ghost story. And this isn't sort of Architectural Digest. So I'm not going to focus on the history of the inn's name.
They've got to have been having a laugh when they called it the Ram Inn. Like Ram Inn, Ram It In.
Yeah, we got it. But like it's Gloucestershire, right? I reckon they did have a ram, which is a male sheep.
They probably did.
I've heard.
Oh God, is this why you chose this story, Chels? I don't want to go over old ground. We're done now. No more chat about the gender of animals.
Well, you don't know, Jim. You can't just blanketly state that there's going to be no more chat about genitalia, animal gender.
I'm drawing a line under it now. I think we've done it.
Well. You're not the boss of me, to quote Malcolm in the Middle. Actually, the reason I picked this story is because I have a long history with the ancient ram inn. And by long history, I mean about 2-3 years ago, we watched about 17 hours of content on it and also called them and spoke to the guy that owns it. So,
oh yeah,
it's got a special place in my heart. But
have you ever been to the Ramyun?
No, but we'll get to that, and we'll get to a potential Chelsea gym on location idea later.
Yes,
I want to do this episode a little differently. I want to do it as a sort of audio tour.
Okay. You have permission.
Thanks, Jim. that was mostly because the inn has so many hauntings and different things going on. They're not all linked. So it wouldn't make sense to do it as a sort of story because some of the ghosts don't know each other. They're not mates.
No.
So I thought, well, how else could I present this? And I thought, you know, like a museum in a way.
I like this idea. But just a quick question before we move on.
Yeah.
Do ghosts know other ghosts? Like, can a ghost see another ghost? Or in their head, are they just existing within their own universe?
Well, the uncles in Casper knew each other, didn't they?
That's true. They were great.
Has that answered your question?
I think it has, actually. Yeah, move on.
So I want you to imagine we're in a museum, and like how you'd press a button about the T-Rex, and then you'd press the button next to it, and it would tell you about, like, the Brachiosaurus or something. They're both dinosaurs, but they didn't exist at the same time. But in our collective consciousness, they're the same thing, right? So that's how, that's what we're entering into. The spooks from the ancient Ramyun. Here's an audio tour. I want you to pick up your headphones. I want you to get your little interactive guide out. I want you to shuffle slowly around, being annoyed by the other people in the tour group.
Is there someone where I can hang up my backpack? Because I hate having a backpack.
You meant to put it in the inn when you came in through the main door.
I missed
Jim.
The locker. The I don't know where room. The cloakroom is.
Go. We'll wait. Go and get your little raffle ticket.
Okay.
It's £2.
Am I allowed snacks?
No snacks in the museum, Jim.
Oh, museums are so boring.
I don't want you to contaminate the ghost evidence.
Okay.
I'd like it if we maintained this sort of role play throughout.
We're really painting an incredible picture in the imagination of our listeners right now.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't...
Chelsea's Ghost Museum.
Can we try and do that? Because I was just thinking we could have a podcast for the rest of our lives, but I wouldn't mind if we turned it into a ghost museum at the end of the day.
I was just going to say, that would be a great idea for a podcast series in itself. The Ghost Museum.
Oh, should we change the name of the slab?
Museum sound effects on. Footsteps.
Oh, Jimmy, why didn't we think about this before?
Murmuring.
Yeah, little, I don't know. I don't think there's any sounds in the museum. Maybe it wouldn't have worked.
Well, this is like ambience.
That's a better idea than the slab, though, isn't it?
It is. That's a really good idea. I'm writing this down.
Is it too late to pivot?
No.
We can have, like, the original gang that were here for the first 10 episodes before it was the Ghost Museum, but then it became the Ghost Museum.
And every week we could add another artifact to the Ghost Museum. And also, we could have a Ghost Museum gift shop merch.
I love the gift shop, though.
They have weird stuff that you wouldn't be able to get anywhere else, like massive mugs or weird rubber pencils.
I bet you could get a big mug in IKEA, Jim.
But they're always a bit weird, aren't they? They've always got like some strange, like plastic handle, or like a see-through bit on them,
or just like far too much relief.
Yeah.
Inexplicable lumps.
There's always a lot of textures that you wouldn't normally find on a mug, and that's why they're so brilliant.
You're right. In our ghost shop, what's it called? The Ghost Museum gift shop.
Ghost Museum.
And we might have a mug. I don't know. A mug seems a bit advanced. We can have a t-shirt.
or a rubber.
We wanted to do our stationery range. Or we could have rainbow stationery range, like in all gift shops from 90s.
Yeah, glittery rainbow.
Oh, I love our that. Ghost Museum. Chelsea and Jim's Ghost... Would we call it just the Ghost Museum, or would we come up with a cool, better name?
I mean, Ghost Museum, it says what it is.
You're not wrong.
It's not the most sophisticated names, but it's functional. It's intriguing. If you saw a podcast called The Ghost Museum, you'd be like, oh, I'm definitely clicking on that. What the hell's The Ghost Museum? I want to go.
Yeah, I'm not clicking on the slab. No one's clicking on the slab.
Therein lies the problem, Chelsea.
We're going to rebrand. My new job is head of brand and communications. I'm going to rebrand the slab. Have we got a brand? We can think about this after the episode.
We don't have that much of a brand right now, so it's not going to be too... I mean, look, guys, what do you think? Email us. jimandchels@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Should we open the Ghost Museum?
And we could, it would be such a nice setup for episodes too. We could like bring ghosts in, we could bring haunted like dolls in.
Yeah.
Like
weird clocks.
I love a weird clock.
Yeah.
And that
magic
area,
lamps.
Oh, imagine if there was a whole area of weird clocks and it was just really overwhelming with ticking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's going to require...
I love the Ghost Museum. Oh,
me
my
too.
God. I love it.
Higher production value, but, like, that's fine. We only do, like, one podcast every 7 weeks.
That's our new schedule.
Back to the genesis of the Ghost Museum. The Ancient Ram Inn. The outside of the building is a small, broken-down, higgledy-piggledy cottage. This is so run down and country that I think that it may have actually been the impetus for the word ramshackle. Ancient Ram Inn!
Ramshackle!
Ramshackle! It might have been! I won't Google it because it definitely isn't, but I will include it as a fact in this dubious audio tour in our ghost museum. We'll put that on the little
white plaque. Well,
what's a shackle? Well, we know
what. Is a shackle like a handcuff?
Yeah, like a metal handcuff, I guess. That's attached maybe to a wall?
Maybe they tried to shackle a ram to the outside and it just like... No, cut that bit out.
The inn was actually the first time the word ramshackle was introduced into the English language, guys. Keep that. Remember that fact. Use it again on Twitter later. The inn is very small and undoubtedly not very prosperous due to the limited number of rooms. That said, not many people passing through rural Gloucestershire, so probably adequate.
Was it like an ancient travel lodge?
Who would you say was the medieval times version of Lenny Henry?
Probably... Shakespeare?
Yeah, you're not wrong. I won't ask you any more questions.
He's the only one I can think of.
It wasn't he from like the 1600s, though?
Yeah.
Maybe 17?
No,
this
it
is
wasn't
11.
17s. 16. 15s, late 15s to 16s, I'd say, Shakespeare.
Did you Google it?
No, my internet's not working, is it?
Oh, yeah.
Did you know that Shakespeare, actually, this is a lame fact. I've started to say it, I'll finish off. He wasn't always popular. Like, it was only in Victorian times that people rediscovered Shakespeare and were like, oh, this guy's all right. And he became popular again.
But he was popular in his time because he had that little theatre made up.
Oh, yeah, he was popular in his time, but then he was like, there was like maybe 100 years where no one was really asked by Shakespeare.
Probably because the language was too similar.
Yeah.
Who's all right and right? So they think like Jonathan Franzen is all right now, apart from the fact that he's a cunt. And then like for the next 100 years, we won't really care about Jonathan Franzen. But then after 100 years, his sort of like tales about family life and how we lived in society will be interesting again. Because it will be very different to what they're experiencing. And it will be like one of the more prominent writers of our period.
You need some distance from it. Like our kids today are dressing like they're from the 90s, even though they were born in 2001. And they think it's all like cool and they feel removed from it. And it feels... like, what's the word? Not nostalgic. What's that word when you're nostalgic about a time that you didn't live in?
I don't know, Jim.
Whatever, but you know what I mean. They didn't live through the 90s, so there's that level of distance there that makes it appealing. Whereas for us, it's just like, we used to wear bootcut jeans and they're awful. Why are you thinking they're cool?
Are they coming back? Has bootcut come back?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not okay. I'm all right with slap bracelets. I'm all right with tattoo necklaces and yin-yangs. I'm not okay with bootcut.
They're coming back, Chels. They're coming back, baby. Double denim.
Does that mean we're going to get hipster jeans as well? Because I've not got the figure for those anymore. I want the high-waisted mum shorts.
But you can do that. No one's forcing you, Chels.
You that's don't right. know.
You don't have to wear any jeans you don't want to wear. I'm just looking at pictures of the Ram Inn and it looks amazing.
Well, you don't need pictures because you've got the audio tour.
Oh, yeah. Let's get back to the museum, shall we?
Once inside the inn, you meet John Humphreys, a dementia-riddled nonagenarian owner who lives in the property and conducts the tours. Other than the dust and instability of the structure, John strikes you as perhaps more dangerous than anything else that could be inside. You paid your deposit weeks ago, but he claims not to remember it. Or you.
Ooh.
This is an audio tour, but it's also like a role play that you are there.
Are you talking to me or to John?
He's not here, Jim.
That makes a lot. That makes a lot of sense.
I could call him up. Oh, we could call him. Should we call him and try and get like a segment of We Speak to John on the podcast?
Yeah.
Right.
So John is a real person then?
Oh yeah, he's John's real. So he's
John
like
is real.
He's a huge part of it. He's quite the character.
So he owns the pub. He tells the ghost stories.
He owns it. He takes you around. He tells the stories. He's been there his whole life. And he says that he's trying to get money to maintain the property, okay. Which is why he still shows people around. Because it's like, it's assumably grade listed. I reckon it's at least a grade 2.
Oh, yeah, looking at that, gotta be. Grade 1, I would say.
We push through some thick, dust-clogged red curtains and into the bar area. Here, we are faced with the ancient grave. A vision so full of anachronisms, it could be used as a time traveler's lair in a movie. Imagine, if you will, a hoarder's charity shop with a concrete floor, but a bit of that concrete has been chipped away to reveal a meter of earth underneath. But because it's a charity shop, there are still like candlesticks and Dan Brown novels teetering into the hole. That's the ancient grave. That's what we're looking at. That's where we are in the audio tour.
So hang on a minute, Chels. There's a hole dug into the floor.
Yes, it's the ancient
inside
grave.
Inside the pub.
We're in the pub. We're in the bar area. It's cluttered as fuck. In the concrete, there's like a 1 square meter hole which reveals the earth, which is sort of somewhat dug out in that hole.
And is there like a perspex thing over the top of the hole to stop people falling in? Is there a fence around
it? Well, you couldn't fall in. It's like at the deepest point, maybe 45 centimeters. And it's more of a sort of scoop than a hole.
Right. But it's still a pub, though. People are getting drunk there. People stumble into that.
I mean, it's he just lives there now. People aren't... It's not like an active bar. You have to ask to be, like, taken round the inn. It was, like, the bar area from the past.
So what's in the hole, then? Are there any bones in there?
Yeah, well...
A magic lamp?
To make sure that you know exactly what this hole is... And don't assume that it's like a hard committal to like a cat's litter tray. There's a laminated white piece of A4 paper with the words "The Ancient Grave" scrawled over it in Sharpie that's just sort of strewn on top. Not even like attached to a wall. He's just written it and then thrown a piece of paper in the grave that says "The Ancient Grave." And then next to that, there's a wooden cross which looks like it's like 2016 IKEA era. Very clean sort of pine... And then next to that is a spade, which that's not how spades work. They're not like single-use grave straws. That doesn't make me believe more that it's a grave. I've never seen a spade in a grave before, apart from in a movie where they've just buried somebody.
Also, what's he trying to achieve? Like, obviously it's been dug with a spade. That bit, no one's like questioning how the hole was dug. You don't need that visual aid there.
If anything, it wasn't dug with a spade because it's in concrete. I don't believe that you got through the concrete with that fucking spade. What are you doing? It's such a try-hard moment here to be like, believe that this is a grave. I've labelled it with a white piece of paper. I've laminated that. You can't fake lamination. I've got the
laminating's not easy, though. He's put considerable effort in there. Laminate your heart. Don't laminate your heart. I think he seems like a nice man, though. I like that he's making an effort.
Yeah, I mean, it all adds to it, because it's like, it could seem professional, but I like the weird sort of, is this really haunted, or is it just one man's living nightmare that I've been invited to? I appreciate both of those. So why is it a grave, and what evidence do we have to support that it's a grave? So apparently, the bones of children were found buried there, and next to the bodies, they uncovered some like really, really old school daggers. So I assume that that's just like a stone dagger.
Right.
I don't even know if we have daggers in the 2019, 2018. What year is it?
They're not really called daggers, are they? They're just called knives now.
Yeah, we just have knives these days. So imagine like an old school, like I imagine it was like hammered out dagger. little slate.
Possibly made of flint.
Yeah, flint, that's one of the words. The University of Bristol has analysed the daggers and actually confirmed the age to be in line with that of the property. And as such, it is suspected that the children were murdered as part of a ritualistic killing for pagan gods.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, shove so that
in. So that's not him just making that up. There were genuine children's bones in there.
Yeah. And then definitely the daggers. But I mean, like, anyone could have bought those 900-year-old daggers and put them in the grave, in the ram inn, and then took them out again. You know, like...
Oh, yeah, people are always doing that.
Pop on eBay, fake that shit from eBay. But, that's...
Hey, if you wanted to smuggle a dagger onto an airplane, just get one made of stone.
Great.
That's not going to set the metal detectors off, is it?
Great life tip, Jim.
Yeah. Sorry, that just came to me. Just if you ever need to smuggle a dagger onto an aircraft, go with a flint one.
Brought to you by the Ghost Museum.
Yeah.
So this room... one of the, despite the fact that it's got an ancient pagan ritualistic child grave in it, is one of the least haunted rooms of the Ram Inn. Reports from this room have been feelings of dizziness, nausea, and general unease, and as well as reports of a little ghost girl running around.
A little ghost girl?
A little ghost girl.
Oh.
So, I mean, assumably, therefore, you would... think that the bones were of a girl. I don't know if... I'm assuming that it's the ghost of the girls that was murdered. Could be unrelated. I don't know. But that's a... I think, like, that's a conclusion that I'd be happy for anyone to jump to.
What's a little ghost girl doing in a pub?
Well, she was there from the pagan burial ground before the inn was built.
She was there pre-pub.
Pre-pub. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she just popped
up. She wasn't,
up.
Like, made to sit outside with a bag of crisps. Like 90s parenting.
Oh, like that. Did you watch... That's a really good short film, actually, by the woman that did Fish Tank.
No.
Where she's got, like, two kids, and she tries to leave them in the car outside a pub while she goes to, like, pull or something. And then one of them's allergic to bees, and it gets stung by a bee while it's in the... I'm not explaining it well. But it's it's a very 90s British poor representation... You know, like, it's a sort of like Shane Meadows, but by
that's
the woman
very, yes.
version. Yeah.
That's our favourite thing.
I love a bit of Shane. And also, additionally, supposedly light bulbs are said to have gone missing from that room. And guests have reported, like, they went downstairs, they were on the tour, the light was on, they did it to the grave. They went to stay in one of the other rooms, obviously, to sleep. Came down whilst doing, like, a ghost investigation, and the light bulb was no longer... hanging in that room. It had been moved and was, like, resting on the side.
Oh, that's weird.
They think it's John. But they think John did that. I don't know why the little ghost girl's fiddling with electric. She was unfamiliar with light bulbs in her time.
She'd have no idea what a light bulb is. Also, it takes quite a lot of dexterity to get a light bulb out of a light bulb holder. So if she can do that, she's really wasting that talent. She could be doing all sorts.
A cheeky hand job.
She could be giving hand jobs out.
That would be a real money maker for John. Come and get a hand job from a dead girl.
I mean, I'm interested.
I'm not going to say no, and it's not for sexual reasons. It's for curiosity.
Yeah. And if that child died in pagan times, like...
That's
not
paedophilia. That's
not
old
a child anymore.
Ilia. What's the opposite of peed?
It would be necrophilia, wouldn't it? Because it's a dead...
Sorry.
What's the opposite of peed?
Pooed.
The opposite of being a paedophile is not being a paedophile.
No, but what's the opposite of young, too old? She's not...
There's no too old. Well, too old would be dead.
Yeah, and but is a ghost dead? I mean, a ghost is yeah. a ghost dead or is the body dead?
I don't know. And if it died as a child, if it's still... stuck in that, if you've still got the mentality of a child.
Oh, mentality, I don't know about that.
Is it legally still a child?
Well, I don't know. I mean, is it the biologically the brain sort of maturing that creates sort of all of the shit that we associate with an adult, or is it just time and existence? Like, is it just learning so you can become an adult with a child brain, or is there something else that happens, like all the testosterone and estrogen and all of that shit coming into play? That makes us adults. Which is it?
I think it's probably
Little column A, little column B.
I think it's you can't have one without the other, Chels. Like I always say to you.
In Twilight, the vampires are very young, but they're also very old.
Yeah. Sorry, I thought there was going to be more to that bit.
No. Why would you ever assume that I was going to be about to make a good point? I've just spotted a parallel and just sort of like ignorantly thrown it out in the hope that you would take it and turn it into something real.
If a ghost is a ghost child, then it's not learning, is it? It's just stuck in that time frame forever.
Well, it's learning from John, which worries me most. It's learning from a 95-year-old man riddled with dementia that could possibly be conning people out of money.
That's going to be a fucked up upbringing, isn't it?
It's sort of like an extreme version of Harold and Maude.
Yeah, very.
Oh my god. That's a movie I want to write. I'm going to write Ghost Girl and Old Man with Dementia become best friends. And I don't know where it's going. Maybe they run a ghost museum. I'm not sure yet. Maybe they sort of have... Oh, is it up? It might be up. It's just a fucked up up, isn't it?
It's a fucked up up. Call it that, probably.
I would watch that, though. I mean, I loved up, but I love fucked up.
Yeah. Just call it fucked up.
Yeah, oh my god, it's so good already. Maybe it's like not a movie, but like a cartoon series, sort of like Rick and Morty. Oh,
yeah,
it is Rick and Morty. Morty's alive. Oh, I don't know if it's too close to real things. Anyway, I'll worry about my creative future after the podcast.
Yeah, you need to be careful throwing out these ideas on the podcast, Charles. Someone could steal that.
That's why we have to get the old ghost museum going real fast.
Exactly. Before... Oh, yeah. Just nobody steal that idea.
Copy. FYI. Copyrighted.
That's copyrighted. That's intellectual property of Chelsea and Jim.
I feel
maybe
like...
take the intellectual out of that.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's the word that's the opposite of intellectual property, which would be us? Ignorant property?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it still works. It's still IP.
We'll take a look around. We've become accustomed to the grave now. That's in our mind. We're remembering that as we're walking around the rest of the property. Maybe we'll perambulate, circulate, come back to it later. Who knows? Because next, we're going on a sharp detour into the most haunted room of the inn. Now, you might be like, oh, Charles, why don't you save that to last? Because I haven't done research on the other rooms yet and they're unprepared. So we're going straight into... the Bishop's Room.
The Bishop's Room?
Yeah. Actually, okay, so I haven't finished researching this one either yet. So I don't know if it's named after a bishop, like Kingsland was, or else. So let's just keep going, though, for now, until we suddenly stop and answer some emails. All right. The Bishop's Room is said to be haunted by 5 ghosts, and is reportedly the most terrifying room of the inn. Ooh. Now, before he takes anyone into the Bishop's Room... John has a ritual that he likes to perform.
Oh, God, John. Does it involve a hand job?
It involves a stick. You've clambered up some ancient, crumbling, tiny stairs like you might find in the back end of a castle into, like, the slaves' quarters. And John brings out his walking stick. You're huddled behind him. You're a bit cold. You're a bit anxious. And he bangs on the door 5 times in the shape of a star. I've added that star bit myself. I can't quite remember what the video was, but there's some banging. There's banging. Let's not be afraid of lies on the podcast. And he does this because he says if you don't do it, then you'll have a negative spiritual experience in the room. Like, the spirits will attack you. It's just how you welcome yourself, ingratiate yourself to the spirits.
It's polite. You're knocking before entering.
Yeah.
You're allowing them time to put on their little ghost dressing gown, cover their modesty.
Spoilers. Next episode, we're going to be talking about the succubus that lives in the ancient Ramin. That's right. They will try and fuck you.
The succubus?
Yeah. It's like a demon. It's a demon that fucks you.
Oh, I like the sound of that. Never heard of a succubus before.
I think it's succubus, isn't it? Now you're making me think that I'm not right, but it's definitely
succubus. Sounds like a Pokemon.
John finishes knocking. He slowly pushes the door open.
Chelsea didn't know there'd be sound effects.
I didn't until just then. You are greeted by 3 beds, each one only a foot apart, all covered in deep red moth-eaten sheets. All of the lampshades, all of the candles, all of the sort of like decorative accoutrement are red in this room. The walls are adorned with old paintings, one of which, the one over the far bed, is of a bald man with a bulbous glowing head, the rest of his body hidden by the shadows of the background. The furniture, crammed into any available space, has been unclean for decades. It's all a dark, deep wood, lightened only by an inch of grey dust. An antique teddy bear sits in the middle bed, beady eyes following anyone who dares to move. The floor is covered with thinning, threadbare rugs, and the wooden beams of the house spider around you.
It sounds a lot like your room, Chels.
Hey! I don't have beams.
So are we going to sleep over in the bishop's room?
Yeah.
Is this what is happening next episode?
Oh, yeah. We're sleeping over in the bishop's room. We've got the succubus to look forward to. We've got the witch's room, and we've got the attic.
Oh my god, there's an attic as well.
We've also got a new segment, which I call TripAdvisor Reviews. Which is unfortunately something that I prepared first. So I wasted some research time this morning.
That's fine. This is great. We'll pick all of this up in the next part of this episode. And then we've got part two of the Enfield Poltergeist as well.
Yes.
We're just sprinkling out a little breadcrumbs for you there.
To conclude the episode, we thought we'd read some emails from our listeners and patrons.
Yeah, boy.
Do you have any?
My internet isn't working right now, Chels, so I'm going to have to let you lead this bit, if that's all right.
If anyone was listening to our last episode, and in fact the entire series, they will know that we've had a little bit of a question around turkeys, animals, their genitalia. What is a ram?
Is a turkey a boy or a girl?
Great questions.
Turkey eggs. Why don't we ever have turkey eggs?
Or turkey nuggets? Like, so many questions we've had. So, last episode.
But hang on a minute, Chels. I don't think you're hearing me. Why don't we have turkey eggs?
We have quail eggs and they're tiny and we eat those.
They're tiny.
Silly. So a couple of episodes ago, we got an email from Kate saying that she was a vet. And if we had any questions around animals, to throw them out and she'll get back to us. And she's emailed us again. And I feel like calling her our new resident veterinarian, one, isn't going too far. She hasn't accepted the job and there's no sort of remuneration. But I think it's definitely official. Two, you might say, why would a show about ghosts need a resident veterinarian? And your guess is as good as mine, honestly.
Well, I mean, we definitely need it. And also, just to pick up on the remuneration point, yeah, she's not getting paid real life actual money, but the kudos she will get from this role will definitely enhance her future career. It's sort of like, you know, if you're an honorary board member, like you're not getting paid for that, but it's a big deal.
An internship. She's got a room in the museum. Go and visit Kate. She's in the atrium in her little cranny.
She's got a beautiful office in the museum.
Oh,
she's got oak
so
panelled
nice.
Walls.
Yeah, and a lot of taxidermy.
And one of those brass plaques on the door.
Oh, and a Dr. little green Kate. Desk light. Dr. Yeah. Kate. So,
is she is a vet a doctor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Dr. Kate has emailed us and she said, turkey is the name for males and females. Females are hens and males are stags.
No. A male turkey is a stag?
Yeah, she's mixed that up with deer.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Kate's fired. She's not a real vet.
You've gone mad. You've got no idea what you're talking about.
Her office is up for rent. Guys, if you want to be the new resident vet, you've got a sweet office in the atrium of the Ghost Museum.
We will have to call you Kate because we've already had the brass plaque made. That wasn't cheap.
Kate, our ex-resident veterinarian, said, they also definitely can be nuggets, but they cost way more to produce because they're so much bigger, so need more space and food. They also selectively breed the males because the chests are too big to mate with females, so humans collect their sperm and have put them into the female, so I think that probably costs more as well. This is the weirdest email I've sent.
Well, thank you, Kate. It's informative. Was there a bit about the turkey, the male turkey's chest being too big to fuck?
Yeah, I think that's what Kate's saying. They're selectively bred so that the male chests are too big to mate with females, so humans can collect their sperm and have them. So I think we've done that intentionally. We've made the chest so big that they can't fuck, and maybe that's because we eat them and we get more meat.
Being a turkey's shit. Your chest's too big to shag. Why? Oh, so that it's more delicious for humans. You're having to have your sperm extracted, again, by a human.
Or by That's a little crap. Ghost girl wanking you off. She could wank the turkeys off.
Yeah. Well, she might as well find... Because if she can take out a light bulb, she can wank off a turkey. And I don't care what she says.
ex-resident veterinarian Kate, could you please let us know if a turkey has a dick? And if so, can it be wanked off by a little ghost girl?
Bear in mind that the ghost girl can remove light bulbs.
Yeah, so she is dexterous. If it's a tiny dick, I reckon she could work with that.
It might not be tiny.
True, she could work with a big dick too. Size of the dick, largely irrelevant. So, because we've read all the... Because we've opened all the emails, I'm not opening them in the right order. Here's a random one. I'm just going to go at random, guys. Who knows what's going to happen? I'm
so
excited.
So, random.
Robin says, hiya, exclamation point. Lovely, enthusiastic introduction.
Very good, Robin.
So, Robin has a slightly supernatural thing that she or he thought that we might be interested in, or other. It's not pre-21st century... But it's still kind of interesting. Okay. In about 20...
It doesn't have to be pre-21st century.
No, it doesn't. And I'm a huge advocate of the more recent storylines. So this is essentially going to be a podcast suggestion which we might take up in future. We haven't read it yet. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. 2014/2015. Robin was at school and there was a new student teacher, Mr. Taylor. Maybe it won't be a podcast episode. He only ever wore black shirts, like Italian leather-style shoes, and he was always in a pretty bad mood.
Okay.
Is he a vampire? is that what this is, Robin? He taught history.
He's very pale.
He taught history, which was also slightly suspicious. Okay. I feel like we need more description before you say that history is suspicious. So far, it's just a guy teaching history, and you've gone, that's suspicious.
Definitely a ghost.
And a lot of the school kids started a rumour, as like a joke, that he was a vampire. He's a vampire. most people just joked about him being a vampire, but I swear there was more to it than that. All of the blinds in the history room were closed, and he always used to say that it was because teenagers got distracted by looking out of windows. But perhaps he was actually allergic to the sunlight thing that vampires have. The most mysterious thing, though, is that he left the school unexpectedly. Apparently, he was asked to leave for swearing in front of his pupils. But this happens quite a bit with other teachers, so I don't buy it. My theory is that perhaps there was something darker going on. Otherwise, why would they ask him to leave? That's as far as I've got with this theory, because I haven't found like any missing people that correlate with when he was at our school in North Yorkshire. Sorry if it's a bit weak, but thanks for your podcast, very entertaining. So what we've got here is a history teacher, essentially.
Who wears black.
So if I was a history teacher, like obviously you're going to hear the rumours about you. I would absolutely 100% play up to those. Like I'm going to keep my fucking windows closed to sketch the kids out.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to slick back my hair, maybe start talking with that weird sort of vampire. How do vampires speak?
Like you and me, Jim.
No, they do an accent, don't they? Transylvanian. Robin, I think he is a vampire. And I think you were right to bring this story to us. And we will do all we can to investigate it further.
And I think we have.
And I think we can just conclude that, he was sacked for sucking a child's blood.
Oh, I'm glad that's where that ended.
Or maybe he was just a paedophile, don't know.
I'm going to Google Mr. Taylor, Yorkshire, North Yorkshire, 2014-2015 history. Just see if I can find an image of him. If we get any leads, we'll like do an end of a podcast about him. But I think he's just a teacher that doesn't really like kids. Did it because it's a job that he could do and played up to the vampire thing.
Maybe he was always hungover, that's why he wanted the blinds closed.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure, Robin, why you're bringing up history as evidence for him being a vampire, the fact that he teaches history. I guess maybe because he's old. He's lived through a lot of history, potentially 500-600 years old.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's typically why they do it.
If you've got any investigations for us, any paranormal things you want us to check out, let us know. We do investigations as well as tours around the Ghost Museum. It's jimandchels@gmail.com.
So thanks so much for listening today, guys. Apologies for any technical difficulties. There might not have been any. It might have been perfect.
Unlikely, but yeah.
Yeah. And we will speak to you next week. Follow us on Twitter, Chelsea and Jim. Email us, jimandchels@gmail.com. If you want to join the Patreon, do that too. It's The Slab on Patreon. Might soon be the Ghost Museum.
And we'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.